Okay, final hour here. Your predictions, your open line calls here on Coast to Coast AM. And as I reach into the vault, let's grab some more predictions from earlier in 2012. We're going to be doing the same thing with what we've done with you tonight at the end of next year. Dan in Southern California, a biological form of warfare that China is working on is being tracked by the U.S. military. And on 9/11, the biological agent will be released and they will shut down the power grid. John in Pueblo, Colorado, the Pope is going to pass away. And Perry in Lompoc, California, this will be a relatively calm year, no war or violence. Not at all. And then, Jose in Arizona, we're going to see a lot of people eating crow about doomsday in 2012. Sean in North Carolina, Fukushima will cause rampant cancer. And Jim in North Dakota, listen to this one. The NRA, that's the National Rifle Association, and the Right to Life organizations will be under assault. You got them all. Back in a moment with your calls on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie here in the very cold Midwest. We had a little snowstorm today in the St. Louis region, but not nearly as bad as some of the other states have been getting walloped lately. I'll be going back to Los Angeles pretty soon. Let's go to Daniel in Mays, Kansas. Welcome to the show. Hi, Daniel. Go ahead.
Hi, Mr. Norrie. It's really nice to be able to speak with you.
Thank you. Glad you got in.
I want to wish Miss Penny a happy birthday since she's a fellow Kansan, and let her know she's in my prayers.
Thank you.
I got one of the worst phone calls. I have a kind of a prediction. I want to preface it for a second. I got one of the worst calls in my life Friday morning. My daughter notifying me that my 28-year-old veteran son was found dead.
Oh, God.
And that's what I wanted to talk about. I noticed you're a naval veteran, so am I. Sort 1974 and 1978.
Thank
I was aboard USS Ranger. As an Airedale. When I got out, the VA system was, to say the least, in a mess.
Oh, sure.
And I avoided it because I had insurance. I'm disabled and I don't have insurance now and I have to use the VA. And over the last 15 years, I don't know if the American public, I know the veterans know, but what's happening at our VA facilities is a national tragedy.
I agree. You know, we've had Nurse Joyce Riley on us quite some time, Daniel, telling us about some of these problems.
And there are such good, great people at the VA.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And then there are the ones... The coroner told me this, that if my son would have been prescribed the medications that he was on from a private physician on the outside, that those physicians would be arrested for manslaughter.
Oh, God. Is that what happened?
He had a reaction to OxyContin and benzodiazepam. And any veteran that's been to the VA facility knows before any prescription is filled, every time you talk to the pharmacist.
That's right.
I don't know if you have to use the VA system. I don't know if you do use
No,
the VA.
I'm fortunate so far. We've got a pretty good company plan. And
Right. You know. But it's something, sir, that you have a right to.
I do have a right to, that's true.
And it's too bad that that system is so bad that you cannot use that right. And it would seem a little, it seems worse to me now, especially since I lost my son. And I don't blame them completely. But
you know what, Daniel, let me tell you in defense of this. As you just said, there are a lot of good people there working there. I think that there are misfit doctors everywhere, not just in the VA, but in private practice as well. I mean, do you know how many surgical instruments some of these surgeons leave in the body of the person? It's unbelievable.
I know. But more so with the VA is what's happening is these politicians. We have Robert Dole Center out here. And back when Bob Dole was he was really our last great legislator. He made compromises. He got things done. Bob Dole is real infirmed at this point. But when they named that center after him, that place became a model, And the money was there. And I listen to these politicians now. I listen to these senators from Kansas. I listen to my legislatures from Kansas. I listen to my governor from Kansas. I listen to Barack Obama. I listen to the VA secretary. They're all so pro-veteran, and yet the funding is being massively cut.
Cut, yes.
Instead of having procedures and doing something to address the physical problems,
Our VA hospitals, Daniel, should be role models for the medical community.
Right,
They should be coming out with cutting edge technology out of those.
Right.
Hospitals.
Instead, they prescribe only generic drugs. They prescribe drugs that are outdated in the private practices. They would much rather prescribe strong painkillers than do surgeries.
Yes.
And we have a lot of, our medical technology has become so great. Back when, in my time, if you were on the flight deck and you lost an arm, you've had an 80% chance of dying. If you lost two limbs, you might as well forget it.
You're gone.
And now, they are bringing these kids back. Not just the mental injuries that they cannot see, but the physical injuries that they can see, and they're saving them. And what are they doing with them? I am in groups every week with people that the VA has asked them, do you have pictures of where you were injured? That's so ridiculous. If I was to take a picture on the flight deck, I would immediately be in the brig. I don't understand it. And I guess my prediction is our veterans, these are volunteers. And they have went in the name of our nation, right or wrong, to protect our nation. And when our nation treats them like this, we have went down a long, long ways.
Well, let me tell you, Daniel, I don't think it's going to get any better right now. But maybe eventually we're going to get more people in like you who stop and say, we have got to protect our veterans, and we've got to make these facilities first class. And it's so easy to do. With the amount of money we waste on stupid programs, you can do that. Like, I'm going to move on to some other calls. I'm going to put that down as your prediction, that I'm assuming you're predicting that the VA system will not get any better. And again, our condolences on the loss of your son. Gary in Wyoming, welcome to the program. Hi, Gary.
Hi there, George. First of all, a very happy new year to you and your family, and it's an absolute honor to get to talk to you and to our listeners coast to coast. I think
Thank
it's
you,
awesome.
Gary.
Now, as far as my prediction, you can bank this. You might as well just go ahead and get it ready to rerun for next year, because this is an absolute guaranteed prediction. This will happen. You ready?
I'm ready.
I predict that you, George, will not be eating pizza rolls in 2013. How's that, huh?
You get a ding for that one, and we don't even have to wait a year for that.
I just thought I would lighten up the show a little bit and put a little comedy in there for you and put a smile on your face.
You got it, Gary. You're right on that one. Let me tell you, to those of you who might not know what Gary's talking about a month ago, I was going to a convenience 7-Eleven because I wanted to get my little turkey whole wheat sandwich. They were out of them. So I was starving. I'm going, what the heck can I eat? It's so late, and I'm in L.A. And so I picked up these frozen pizza rolls and read the instructions to the letter, put them in the microwave, took them out, and the instructions say, make sure they're cool. Well, I touched it. It was cool. I popped this little puppy in my mouth, bit into it, and it was like molten lava. I spit it out, but it was too late. Within moments, the skin on the roof of my mouth had fallen off. I missed 2 days of shows. I never miss shows. You know that. I'll take an occasional Friday off. I've got a week's vacation coming up. I get 3 weeks. I only take one. I never miss. I'd missed 1 day in 10 years. It's unheard of. But, man, I could not open my throat. It was my windpipe was gagging up on me. It was horrible. Worst situation I've ever gone through in my life. And, you know, I've got to do something about it because, one, the instructions are wrong. And, two, if a mother had given her little kid that and a little kid popped that in his mouth, they would have died. They would have died instantly had they swallowed it. And this doctor told me, had I swallowed this thing, he would have been doing some kind of surgery on me. Horrible feeling. So that's the pizza roll story, and that's what Gary was talking about. He's right. I'm not going to eat one in 2013. So he gets a ding already. Let's go now to Mike in San Bernardino, California. First-time caller. Michael, go ahead.
How you do? Happy New Year there, George.
You too, Mike.
Hey, I'm predicting a nuclear submarine accident or incident. Gosh. In the Atlantic, closer to Florida coast.
Now, the last one we had was in the 60s, was it? The Thresher?
Yes.
And you remember that? Yeah, that sunk with everybody aboard. Horrible story. So you're predicting something like that?
Right, either an incident or an accident, but something that's going to hit the news, saying a nuclear sub, something happened, accident, problem, but something that's going to hit the news and...
Okay, but it's definitely going to be around a nuclear sub.
Correct. Something about I'm predicting something, a nuclear sub by itself. Something happens, something goes. I'm not even sure what country, U.S. or somebody else, but.
Well, if there was, let's say, an accidental missile launch from a sub, you'd call that an incident, right?
You could, but I'm still looking at something, either an accident or a problem or something. Something not threatening, but something say, hey, there's a problem with a nuclear sub. Something did happen, and I can't put my finger. I thought about it for 2 days now. I said, I just have to call.
All right, we'll put you down on that one. Let's go to Rena in Detroit, Michigan. Hey, on our Skype line. Hi, Rena.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call, and happy New Year.
There, you too. There's
just,
that funny
I wanted to predict that. I hope that this doesn't happen, but if by chance, the government or the meat industries decide to put some type of new hormone or chemical in their meat, I think it would have like a really bad effect on people, but not necessarily the animal.
All right. We'll monitor that. So this is something new, a new product that they might put into the food?
Yeah, that's not tested, and it'll make a lot of people sick. I don't know if anyone will die, but it's just something that has been on my mind and I dreamed about. So I was like, oh, no.
Okay. We'll put you down. For that one, let's hope not. Let's have a great prediction of something nice happening, right? Something enlightening. Those never happen. Sam is in Abilene, Texas, east of the Rockies. Hey, Sam, go ahead. Sammy, you there? There you go.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, good to have you with us.
Can you
hear me? Uh-huh, loud and clear.
Okay. I'd like to first say happy birthday to Penny.
Thank you.
And because my mother, she's got a birthday coming up the 9th of January.
She's sitting back listening, I'm sure, somewhere in Kansas, all excited about all these calls.
And my prayers with a fellow Kansan there. With the VA, I mean, you could do a two-hour program
a whole,
on the VA.
A whole series on that, easy.
Yeah. My prediction has to do with, I called back in October. And this has to do with the comet that will be here late October, early November.
Okay.
And the trucker was talking about the...
asteroid, yeah.
Yeah, the asteroid. And I think because those comets bring a lot of debris with them.
They do. There's no doubt about that. So you think we're going to get sprayed?
It can't be good. I mean, they're saying that it's going to be bright enough that it'll be brighter than a full moon. I mean, that's a really big snowball, you know, to light the night. And it's supposed to be visible in the daytime.
So Sam from Abilene, Texas, Kansas is predicting.
Yeah, the snowball from hell.
The snowball from hell. All right, we're going to put you down for that, Sam. Lynn is in Orange, California. Lynn, take it away.
Some event will happen that will cause the people to take to the streets, almost like on 9/11 when they were on the streets and the byways. And I'm not sure what the event will be, but I don't know if it's an event that will cause that they're reacting like almost like a Gandhi protest, calm, very calm, and but large quantities of people on the street, possibly in like a boycott or protest.
Okay, so, you know, we always have boycotts and protests. This would have to be extraordinarily big, right?
Yes, lots of people. I can't tell if it's one city or multiple, but it would be very large. And they're very calm, so it's not like a violent.
Okay, that's good.
It's calm, but definitely in the city.
Almost like a peaceful sit-in, like those days.
But they're walking, just a lot of people walking on the streets and moving in the general direction together.
Okay, well, we'll put you down for that, and then we're going to review that. And, of course, our staff. Lex, you better have all this laid out so next year, we're going to ask you for all of them so you don't have to scramble at the end of the year. Let's go to Edmonton, Canada. Chris, take it away. Hi, Chris.
Hey, George. Nice talking to you.
You too.
I've been a long-time listener, first-time caller. But two quick predictions. My brother figures that the comet 2012 DA14 on February 15th is going to hit the Atlantic and, you know,
wow,
havoc everywhere.
That's tsunami time.
Yeah, and, you know, that wouldn't be good. So my prediction was going to be something along the same kind of lines of havoc, but, you know, you said you wanted something where there's a good coming about this, and I believe that there is an epiphany, an awakening happening, and the people of this planet are going to realize who are causing the problems, and we're going to go and go after them and take them out and allow the people and the public to enjoy the world and this glorious planet that we live on with all its resources and everything that it has.
Let me tell you, Chris, you're spot on. There is no reason why we as a world can't make this just a wonderful planet for people to live in and try to feed as many people, try to make their lives comfortable while they're here. You know what? Time goes by way too fast. We're not on this planet for a very long time. We should make the best out of it. Hey, we're going to come back and take some more phone calls right here on Coast to Coast AM. On our next Coast to Coast program, of course, a live New Year's night show with astrologers and psychics. First hour, Gerald Celente joins us about the fiscal cliff. Then the rest of the show, it's all about you and the future on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to our final segment of part two of our prediction show. Ian had it on Sunday, and here we are here writing them down and putting them in the vault for next year, and we'll pull them out and see how you did. Let's go to Laura in Columbus, Indiana, won the wild card line. Hey, Laura, go ahead.
Hi, George. Happy New Year.
You too. You sound like you're all bubbly.
I am. I'm so glad I got through. I'm wanting to call you, and, well, today I thought you wanted a good prediction, so I thought I'd like to predict that the bees are going to make a comeback. Whatever's wrong with them, the problem's going to get fixed.
Oh, the bees.
Yeah, I'm allergic to bees. And I've noticed that there's hardly any anymore. And I've started reading up on it, and I heard Linda Moulton Howell do her little segment on what she thought was going on with them. And I think it's going to get fixed this year.
Let's hope so, because, you know, we lose the bees, we're in trouble. So how do you know you're allergic to bee stings? I guess it's happened to you, huh?
But I live with it. I take precautions, and I've survived this long. I don't mind having bees, even though I'm allergic to them.
Did you ever get stung by one?
Oh, several times, and I get very sick. I have to take I have an EpiPen. I take Benadryl. Oh, I swell up, like the sting will swell up to the size of a grapefruit. I mean, it's pretty scary. I have trouble breathing.
I was going to say, did you ever think you were going to suffocate?
No, because I get, I take precautions, and I have the EpiPen, and I get to a hospital if I'm in serious trouble.
Yeah, you know what to do now.
I know what to do, yeah. Baking soda on the bee sting also helps.
I've been stung once by a bee. The thing went up my pant leg and bit me on the calf. And I got to tell you, I felt like somebody had stabbed me.
Oh.
I mean, just out of nowhere you feel that.
You definitely know it.
It's got that burning feeling to it.
Yep. At first you're like, what happened? And then you see the bee and then you realize,
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're predicting the bees will make a comeback.
Yes, and right, I'm hoping they do.
And for a split second, I thought you said the Beatles, and I'm saying,
no.
Okay, well, great. Thanks, Laura. Let's go. I cut you right at the end. Let's go to Craig in Charlotte, North Carolina, east of the Rockies. Hi, Craig.
Hey, how you doing this morning?
Good.
Well, I'm not so much a prediction for a lot of people, but just for me personally, I hope I finished the book I'm writing.
Oh, what are you writing?
Book about the history of gold mining. And do you know where the first authenticated gold find was in the country?
In our country?
Yes.
I would say that was probably in the Kentucky area.
Nope, in North Carolina.
I was close.
Yeah, you were close, yes. For a second there, I was like, oh, he already knows this. But no, it was a lot. I'm in Charlotte, but it was a little community about 25 miles east of Charlotte. And
is there still a lot of gold left to be mined?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's because back in that day and age, you know, because mining really took off here about 1833. And there was, up in Concord, Reed Gold Mine in 1799, this kid found a, first of all, he was out shooting fish with a bow and arrow in 1799, came across this yellow rock. It was quite
a huge nugget.
To his dad, and his dad took it to Concord, closest little town to where they lived. And the jeweler, silversmith there, apparently didn't know what he was looking at because he said it had no value. And the Reed family ended up using it as a doorstop.
Oh my God!
For like 3 years. And on one of his trips to Fayetteville, John Reed, to go to Fayetteville to pick up stuff he couldn't get, you know, supplies around here, took it down there with him and ran across a jeweler that knew exactly what it was and asked him how much he could take for it. And you got to remember, this guy is just, his English is real bad. He's from Germany. So
and he's already been told it's not worth it.
Not worth anything. He sold it to him for $3.50.
What was it worth then?
About $3,600.
What would it be worth today?
Well, it's astronomical. You know, but yeah, that's, a lot of people think the first find was in Sutter's Mill, California. And but no, there's gold, you know, because around here, some of the old farmers and stuff in 1800s were good farmers, but they weren't the best gold
miners. Well, how many ounces was that nugget? You know?
The ounces, it was a little over 17 pounds.
17 pounds.
And they had assayed out to like 22 pounds when all the impurities and everything was removed from it.
Oh, that would be a fortune today.
Oh, you ain't kidding, yeah. And history doesn't really record. Some of the things I've read said this fellow went back to Fayetteville to that jeweler and was better compensated. But then I heard also.
All right, so when's your book done?
I am working on 6 years, and hopefully by the end of this year it'll be sent to the printers and ready to go.
I tell you what we'll do for you. You get this book done. You get a hold of us, producer Tom, executive producer Lisa. Their emails are on our website. Oh. I'll put you on for a segment to talk about it.
Oh, sounds great. I appreciate it.
You want to do that?
Yeah.
Okay. There's your incentive to get this thing done.
Oh, man. Sounds great.
All right, Craig. You go for it. Have a good new year. Let's go to Pat, Denver, Colorado, first-time caller. Pat, hi.
Hey, George. That is such a nice thing to do. Happy New Year. And that's lovely. That man's going to do well.
He's going to finish his book now.
My prediction, George. Can you hear me?
I sure can.
Okay. We're going to know the nature of God, I think, this year or next. We already know a lot about it because of quantum physics, and I think it's going to move out into the mainstream. I see so many books in the library now that have to do with that, you know, our inner life is truly our inner life as far as our subatomic connection, you know, and that we're going to know that we all come from the same place and go back to the same place, and eventually that's going to create so much harmony in the years to come between our different, you know, religious groups. They're going to realize we're all the same stuff.
I like
so,
that.
Yeah.
That'd be great. All right, Pat, thanks. You have a great little New Year. I don't know. What are you doing tomorrow? I'm thinking of taking my family to brunch. That's what I want to do. I want to go to brunch. Let's go west. Lee in Snowflake, Arizona. Hey, Lee, welcome to the show.
Hi. I predict that the Forest Service will reintroduce fire back into the ecosystems of our southwest forests, which will begin a long process of deliberate denial of the amount of radioactive waste that is stored and will be released from these forests in the form of smoke due to our legacy of above-ground atomic bomb testing at the Nevada test site.
You are right on, Lee. Right on. That's our legacy, unfortunately. Okay, thanks for that.
Okay.
You got it. Mickey in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Tell us what's up, Mickey.
Well, first of all, Happy New Year.
Thank you. You too.
I think we're seeing a peak in prices and demand for guns, and I would recommend people sell their firearms. The efforts to ban various weapons is going to be pushed back. Maybe it'll be a big silent protest an earlier caller talked about. I think that sounds like a Tea Party kind of an activity.
So why sell them off though?
Well, it's just prices. There's a huge demand. I've been through this thing 3 or 4 times now.
You mean just to make some money? You mean for profit?
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you have these things, you're going to be able to buy them back for 20-30% cheaper in 6 or 8 months. It's just another big scare tactic. It's really amazing how this panic has run. We've probably increased gun ownership in this country by 10 or 15%. People who never owned one now have one.
You're right. No, you're right. People do flock to buy guns whenever there's any threat at all that the guns are going to be taken away.
You know, now's a good time to sell.
I remember buying some. You remember earlier, several years ago, the run on ammunition?
Yes.
Man, I waited in line for like an hour at a Walmart waiting for ammunition to come in from a truck, and then they only allowed you to buy a certain amount. It was crazy.
It is, and it's going to continue to be that way. There's talk about trying to get some of these large benevolent billionaires to buy out Freedom Arms. Why stop with that? Buy Ruger and Smith & Wesson, and then they want to just tear up all the dies and all the and just
good
just,
point.
Destroy it. But I think they're going to beat them back.
There's a new company out called Taurus. It's a pretty good gun company, isn't it?
I don't know about them, but they'll be replaced. Freedom, if they drop Freedom Arms or Ruger, there'll be new ones to take their place.
Yeah, that's true. All right, thanks for the call. Next up, we go to Jeff in Juneau, Alaska. Welcome to the program, Jeffrey.
Hi, George. How are you?
Good, Jeff. Thank you.
Hey, got 2 quick ones for you. And I, first of all, predict that within the next, oh, I don't know, 30 days, the pressure exerted on the Skype Corporation from talk show radio audiences will come to take that annoying noise off of their phones.
Yes, That little blip, whatever it is.
I figure I got a pretty good chance.
I love that.
And then the second is that UFO Phil will be exposed as his real identity. And of course, Weird Al Yankovic.
All right. Well, I think one of two might be right there. You may get that right.
I can't lose, man. It's like heads to my bed. Hey, happy New Year, man.
Okay, Jeff. You too. That's funny. Juneau, Alaska. I'd like to get to Alaska for an event one day. Be great. But by the way, speaking of events, 2013 is going to be packed for me. Just keep looking at our calendar. We'll be posting them shortly each month. Come on out and see me wherever we might be, whatever city we may be in. There's going to be a lot this year, and it's just important to me that I get out there and I meet you face-to-face. And I think I'm going to be in Columbus, Ohio this year, Cleveland. We haven't done that ever, and might be going back to Philadelphia, Minneapolis, maybe Austin, Texas, which has been just a huge audience for us. Just keep looking at the calendar and see where we're going to be at any given time. Next up, we go to Stockton, California. It's Mick's turn. Hey, Mick, go ahead.
Hey, how's it going, George? How you doing?
Good,
tonight?
Mickey. Happy good. You still there? Yep.
Yeah, I predict that the San Francisco 49ers are going to win the Super Bowl this year. And I'm as far as going to say that they're either going to play Denver or, let's see, the Bengals.
Well, Denver's got a great shot.
Oh, yeah. I think the Niners are going all the way. There's nothing like San Francisco, baby.
Hey, what is the Super Bowl, by the way? What's the date?
Oh, I think it's the 4th, I believe. The 3rd. No,
the 3rd of January or February?
February.
Okay. So that's my first Sunday. I'll be on the air then. Okay, great. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, used to be in January, so they pushed them back a little bit. Man, those Super Bowl parties are big, too. Not a lot of people watch the game during those parties. They watch the commercials. They spend a fortune on those commercials. We go next to Kentucky, and it's Mark's turn, east of the Rockies. Hey, Mark, go ahead.
Yes, I have a wonderful prediction for you.
All right.
I believe that this will be one of the biggest news stories of our lifetime.
Okay.
I believe that the official announcement of Nezra will be made in 2013.
Of who?
Nezra, N-E-S-A-R-A. It's on the internet, and I believe it will be announced this year. And what it states is that the American people are heirs to huge amounts of estates, and there will be a great windfall coming our way.
For everybody?
For everybody. The American people are heirs to 148,000 estates. And we're projected to receive $100,000 a month, $1.2 million a year for the next 10 or 12 years.
Who's going to pay that to us?
It's in these trust funds and these estates that go back over 300 years. People have left their monies over the years. Each one of these estates and trusts are set up, and they're all different. Some of them go back 5, 10, 15 years. Some go back 50, 100, 150 years. Some go back 200, 250, 300 years.
Jeez.
And the money doubled every 7 years.
Who's trying to get us paid? Who's trying to get us paid? Is there some company?
Well, there's people behind the scenes, but your senators know about it, and your congressmen know about it, and they're under a gag order from the Supreme Court not to talk about it.
Nezra, I'll check it out.
Yeah, N-E-S-A-R-A. Thanks, George.
Okay, that is a bizarre story. I think we could all use a little cash, couldn't we? We'll see if that happens. You never know. Let's take another call or two. Let's see how we do time-wise. Marianne in Madison, New York. Hey, Marianne, go ahead.
Well, how are you, George?
I'm okay. How are you?
Wonderful. You could tell that it's probably going towards 6 o'clock in the morning my time.
Yes,
it is. But I'm a night hawk.
As we start the new year.
What was that?
We start the new year, so it's exciting.
Yes. I just wanted to, I don't want to make a prediction, but I was listening to early on in the show when the man was talking about Damascus and praying for the people there. For the last 2 or 3 years now, I've been woken up to pray for the people in Damascus because I honestly believe that things are about ready to really hit the fan for those people. And there is that scriptural prediction that says that it will be wiped off the map and it will never be inhabited again. And I believe that Israel has to do something to protect themselves, and you can't blame them for that.
I just wanted to let
you know that I come in agreement with that man, but I've also been praying for the people in Damascus. And there is a pastor who has written a book. His name is John Story.
And what's the name of the book?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, what's the name of the book?
It's 2012 to 2020, and it's, I forgot the second part of the name, but it's okay. About...
We'll find it. If his name's John Story, we'll track it down. We will do that. Hey, by the way, great predictions. Let's see what happens during the year and see how many of these come true. You never know. And, of course, I want you to sit back and enjoy. Join me again tomorrow night, live program on New Year's night. I'm looking forward to it. Let's just sit back and have some fun. Here we go. Happy New Year's, my friends. For Dan Galati, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lone Hood, Sean LaDesor, Stephanie Smith, George Knapp, John B. Wells, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. I'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.